T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
The second pick will be made by the Houston Rockets, and that means that the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft goes to the Detroit Pistons.
Normally, you would bump in with something like that after you had a team with the worst record in the NBA, and you would bump in with that, and you'd be like, man, what a bummer, man. We had the worst team in the league, and you still can't even land the top pick. I'll tell you what, never has a team with the worst record in the NBA been happy to land what... They would have been happy with the fourth pick last night, and I know that because when the envelopes were open last night and the number five overall pick was not the Oklahoma... Somebody other than the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think it was Orlando, that's when we knew that the Rockets had landed in the top four. And, of course, we carried that live for you here on Sports Radio 610 last night. Yeah, big news. We're leading off with the Rockets today because they land the number two overall pick in the NBA draft in what was an underratedly tense evening last night as they were unveiling those picks. As we welcome you in on a Wednesday. Payne and Pendergast with you here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you getting up with us. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Seth, I needed a drink after that last night, man.
It's like one of those things, too. You know, when you're watching, say, Miss America or something, and they do that thing where they announce the runner-up.
Yeah.
You have to do that lick, that quick little simple process of elimination in your head. But it's still, I always picture myself on stage for that and think, like, wait a second. Would I figure out that I'm the winner even though my name wasn't read? Yeah, there was a little bit of that. And then they announced the fifth pick, and I thought, okay, wait, so it's not the Rockets. Okay, so they've got it.
Yeah.
It would have sucked. It would have been one more year before the Rockets could truly get started on their rebuild. Like, whatever you want to call it. I don't like the process because that's a Sam Hinkie thing. You know?
It's clearly not working. They just got knocked out of the playoffs. So
exactly. The process blows.
That's right.
I'm going to call it the progress. Let's call it the progress.
Okay.
Sean.
I like it.
So the progress on the progress wouldn't have started until next year, where now you end up with a whole loads of options in the first round.
Yes.
So in this year, I was reading John Hollinger on The Athletic say that it seemed like this year, if you're in the top five or so, or if you're in the 20s, like the mid-20s in the draft, that seems to be the sweet spots for where the talent is and how much it's worth and the value. So that blends up work perfectly for what the Rockets have.
Yeah, they have the number two overall pick, as you heard last night here on Sports Radio 610. And to Seth's point, they've got the number 23 and number 24 overall picks. For the first time in a long time, the NBA draft is going to matter to Rocket fans. Seth, I'll say this about last night. You're right. When the envelope opened for number five, that was the first tense moment. In fact, let's relive the magic of what it sounded like to hear the number five overall pick announced last night.
The fifth pick will be made by the Orlando Magic.
Okay, that it was anybody other than, if they opened that up and it was the Oklahoma City Thunder, it would have meant that the Rockets lost the pick. And that's how they were doing that thing last night with these pick swaps. If they had already executed all the swaps behind the scenes, so the team inside the envelope was the actual team getting the pick. So as long as it wasn't Oklahoma City in that envelope, you're going, okay, we can breathe. And that's what happened at number five. And then they go to commercial and you come back. And Seth, it was a weird dynamic because we were ecstatic. Adam Spillane and I were up here in the studio, and we were ecstatic to see that the Rockets had landed in the top four. And then you go to commercial break and you start sitting there and your mind's racing. You go, man, this is awesome. The rebuild is going to be on track, or the progress, as you put it, is going to be on track here. They're going to get a player who's got a potential to be an all-star. This is a four or five player draft, and they're going to land in the top four. This is great. And then you immediately start to get a little bit greedy, because once they unveiled number four and it was Toronto, and then they unveil number three and it's Cleveland, you realize, wow, the Rockets are getting a top two pick. And then they unveil number two and it's the Rockets. You're like, damn it. Damn you, sports gods. And
you're the guy that you got rich suddenly with your .com, and within several months you're bored with life.
Right.
That's what happened to you. You got rich, and then all of a sudden you got bored. Everything was a disappointment to you.
Yeah.
You're nothing but trust fund kids right now.
Except nothing, it took nothing, 3 minutes for that process to play out.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. I mean, Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State is the guy that most people are saying is the number one guy in this draft, but it's not by leaps and bounds. There is no clear-cut, hey, this is the savior of your franchise this year.
I think that's the best way to put it, because they're going to take Cade Cunningham number one. Detroit, Spillane told me last night, Detroit was already saying that they're only scouting and entertaining one player through this process. Like, they're not going to go through a whole litany of flying guys in and making any sort of intimations or taking anybody else. But I think you put it best. Cade Cunningham's a good player, but it's not like the Rockets lost out on LeBron James, you know, by getting the number two pick. It's not like they're feeling how Memphis felt back in 2003 when you wind up with LeBron James or Darko Milicic. So they're going to take Cade Cunningham, and the names that are getting bandied about for the Rockets, if you're not a big college basketball fan, or you don't follow the NBA draft very closely, but you're a Rocket fan, the three names you need to know are Evan Mobley, the center out of USC, Jalen Green, the wingman scorer who played in the G League last year, and then Jalen Suggs, who's probably the most familiar with basketball fans here just because he played on a Gonzaga team that made it all the way to the finals. He was the point guard for that team. Mobley and Suggs are both one and dones at the collegiate level. Clutch Fans has a poll up right now, Seth, of who do you want the Rockets to take with the number two pick. It's like it's a dead heat between all three guys. Mobley is winning this right now with 35% of the vote, but the other two guys both have over 32% of the vote. So Rocket fans, over 4,000 of them voting in that poll, they can't make their mind up right now collectively. They like all three guys, and all three have the potential to be really good basketball players.
I guess let's say all things being equal, Sean, let's say all three of those prospects were equal. Strictly by position, which guy do you like the best?
How do you
like this team being built?
I like, position fit-wise, I like Jalen Green the best, a guy who can go get you some buckets, who can go score buckets for you. Spillane, who we're going to have on later today at 9 o'clock this morning, he's going to join us. He was outstanding on the coverage last night on our lottery special. He likes the idea of Evan Mobley, who's kind of a versatile big in the Christian Wood, like a souped-up Christian Wood. And so he likes doing something maybe a little different and creating some matchup problems for teams.
And that's where I was wondering with Evan Mobley, and the key thing that I saw about him was you won't be able to play him off the court in the playoffs. You won't be able to, teams won't be able to go small versus the Rockets, and all of a sudden you gotta sit your bigs the way some teams like the Lakers or other people have had to do. I think that's where the game is going. That's what they would have loved to have had is with Russell Westbrook, if they could have had it, is some of these bigs that can move and shoot, and Mobley can put the ball on the floor. And beyond that, I mean, it's a fantasy where I'd say that all three guys will be equal and you got to pick based by position. The Rockets are gonna take, I'm guessing, just along the lines of what Daryl Morey would think, take the best talent available, and then you figure out a way to make it work. You trade. But one thing Raphael Stone said in an interview with Kelly Eco a few days ago that was interesting was he said they don't know this team. The Rockets don't know their own team right now the way you usually would at this point.
Right.
So, like, which lineups work well? Who works best with each other? What's the relationship like with all those different guys? They just don't know. So it really is. The palette is just completely clear, and you can kind of start from scratch.
Yeah, Spillane actually asked Stone that on the Zoom call last night following the lottery, and he said, is your current roster going to factor into who you take with this pick? And Stone basically said no. He said, Seth, the NBA equivalent of saying we're going best player available.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just get our best players out there and then see what happens. So
I think in basketball, I mean, gosh, that's how I mean, that's how – if you go – if you try to go for the right player, that's how Sam Bowie got drafted over Michael Jordan.
Bingo.
You know, because they didn't need a guard. So why would we take a guard?
Yeah. Need a big. Got to have a big. All right. We're off and running on a Wednesday. It's a good day to be a Houston sports fan. The Rockets wind up with the number two overall pick in the draft last night. And the biggest sign that we are on the verge of a special season with the, again, victorious Astros last night. That's next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Into center field, playable. Miles Straw waits for it. The Astros have a 9-game winning streak. Longest winning streak for Houston since the 2019 team had a couple of 10-game winning streaks. Lumber, this team continues to roll along. Tonight was a tight game, but they win it 3-1.
Yeah, it was a tight one last night, but it's, hey man, good to see, even against the Orioles, good to see the Astros winning games in different ways. 3-1 last night. All the run production they needed, Seth, they just did what you'd draw up on the chalkboard. They got all three of their runs driven in by Miles Straw and Chaz McCormick.
Yeah, it really is.
It's just what they do.
It's you know how I've been probably one of the longest standing devotees of Miles Straw. Boy, do I love Mason Miles Straw. He is such a great example, along with Kyle Tucker, of, all right, sometimes these baseball people really do know what they're talking about, and that you need hundreds of at-bats before you really know what you have in a player. Now, I will say, Sean, part of this offensive resurgence has been Miles Straw being more aggressive at the plate, which pays dividends when the scouting report is, hey, throw this guy's strikes. He sucks. So the next adjustment will be, okay, if pitchers start pitching a little bit more carefully to Miles Straw, does he go that next step?
Yeah.
I mean, over the last, what, 4, 5, 6 weeks, he's been more than enough. So
Absolutely.
Even if he regressed a little bit. Sean, he's tied with George Springer for the season on home runs. So there you go.
he is now.
Samesies.
Yeah.
I got six of a George Springer, half a dozen of a Miles Straw.
Right. Now, I remember both of George Springer's home runs, and I remember George Springer's second home run was literally 470 feet to straightaway center. Miles Straw's second home run of the season hit the top of the fence and bounced off a fan and needed to go to replay review.
His other one, the first one was right in the little coffin corner of the Crawford boxes,
yep.
Right?
Yeah,
it was like a coffin corner punt.
Smoke him if you got him, baby.
I almost mark him down for his home runs because, look, that's not what you're supposed to be doing, bro.
Right.
You're like, hit these line drives and get yourself on the base paths,
100%.
You know, use your speed. That's just a lucky fly out, in my opinion.
Yep. Absolutely. Maybe the biggest sign that we are on the verge of a special season with the Astros, we know that Mattress Mack doesn't start putting his hard-earned money down on championships for Houston teams until it starts to get serious. And I know it's only mid to late June, but Mattress Mack is back at it again. Mattress Mack went to a casino in Indiana, I guess, and placed a couple of monster bets on the Astros. Here is Mattress Mac laying out the details.
Well, I just bet $2 million with William Hill and the Houston Astros to win the World Series. Pays $20 million. And bet another $1 million with FanDuel for the Astros to win the World Series. Plays $10 million. So bet $3 million, win $30 million. And hopefully the Astros will win and all of our customers will get those free mattresses. They buy mattresses starting tomorrow at Gallery Furniture, 3,000 plus. If the Astros win the World Series in 2021 like they did in 2017, your mattress purchase is free, free, free. And now it's all easily insured.
See, Mattress Mac's a genius. Gosh. He got a free live read on the air right now. But
of course, that's what all of this is. All of these. This is why it's so frustrating when you read reports outside of the city of Houston where they paint Mattress Mac is just this Yosemite Sam. Yeehaw! I'm just gonna spend all my money.
Don't spit
your coffee. Why'd you do that?
Because I'm just picturing Mattress Mac with a big mustache and two six.
Wait a second here. You tell me if I give you money, you'll give me money back for them Astros winning
times 10?
That's how they paint Mattress Mac. Honestly, when you read about it in national stories, they hardly ever mention that it's tied to a promotion.
Right.
And that, he's hedging that. But and it does let you know, though, Sean, man, he sells a lot of mattresses. But
yes.
For that to be worth it, to be able to plunk down $3 million on the off chance that, the markup on mattresses is pretty good too, I guess.
Yeah, because he's operating at cost. We're operating at retail. Yeah.
So it's a promotion, but he does a really good job with it. We need to do this for Payne and Pendergast somehow. So we'll hedge it ourselves. I'll go privately bet some money.
Okay.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like not on a futures bet, but on a in a series somewhere.
Okay.
Let's say it's the Astros versus the Dodgers in the World Series.
Okay.
I'll set up a shell company that places money on the Dodgers just in case. Yep. You publicly go out and bet money on the Astros.
Right.
And then all the free advertising we get will be the
juice. Yeah, the juice. Yeah, because you never win betting both sides of something. Most of the time you don't, unless you can find unless the line moves or something like that. But that's a good idea. Will the having to pay the vig, having to pay the juice on the bet be worth the buzz? I say yes.
If we, I think so, I guess.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to have a third party investor come in. And,
Wallace Marsh.
Also, and I'll have to come up with a clever name for the LLC, for the shell company. Something like definitely not Seth Payne LLC.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't want anybody to get word that I'm betting on the Dodgers.
How encouraged were you? I mean, look, last night it wasn't a sexy win, but man, Zach Greinke's had an interesting season. He's 8-2 now, but his ERA in an era where the average batting average for teams is in the 230 somewhere, for Greinke, his ERA is a little high. It's in the mid threes somewhere. But man, when Greinke, Seth, he's been good this year. He hasn't been great, but he's been good.
Yeah.
But he's had some outings where he's reached back and he's been the old Greinke, and last night was one of them, man. Like,
and I think with Greinke, we've watched this evolution over the last couple of years where he's just become a completely different pitcher than the guy who he was when he was younger.
Yeah.
He's had to be so crafty. And this is really the transition that a lot of athletes simply can't make. Even some of the great ones can't make this transition into kind of accepting what your weaknesses are and working around them. But more than anything, the thing that intrigues me about Greinke is that for a guy who's so antisocial in some ways, he's really all about the team. Understanding that, hey, the challenge for this team right now, the Astros, is to have your starting pitchers go as deep into games as possible. I feel like he's kind of led from the front on that, and nobody's relievers have pitched fewer innings in the last month than the Astros. I think the Astros have the second or third lowest number of innings pitched over the last month. And part of it's because, obviously, the starters are pitching a lot more.
Yep.
We just got to hope that keeps up through October, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Josh James is coming back. Breu, there we go.
Yep, Josh James. And by October, you're not going to have six starters anymore. Four of these guys are going to be starters probably, and two of them are going to bump down to the bullpen anyways. But it was another good night to be an Astros fan. Nine in a row, and you got the Orioles again tonight. You got four against Detroit. You got the Orioles again. Man, this thing, keep it going, Stros. Keep it going. All right, a familiar face, very familiar, to Texan fans, returns to the Houston sports landscape yesterday. This kind of came out of nowhere. We'll have it for you next. All right, so it was a big news day in Houston yesterday. Astros win again, 3-1. They win 9 in a row. The Rockets land the number 2 overall pick in the NBA draft and lottery last night. We'll be talking plenty about all those things this morning. John McClain joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Adam Spillane's going to join us at 9 o'clock to talk about the Rockets last night. The other big bit of news yesterday, Seth, was that a familiar face is back in our lives here as Houston sports fans. The Dynamo introduced their new owner, Ted Segal, yesterday. And as part of that press conference, it was announced that Jamie Rutz, former president of the Houston Texans, not all that long ago, just a couple of months ago, it was late March, I think, when Jamie left the team. He is now the CEO of the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. Here's Jamie Rutz on how all of this came together.
Yeah, immediately upon leaving the Texans, I got a call from Ted's representative. We started talking, felt clear that we see the world the same way. I was excited about the opportunity to get back into the game of soccer. It's been part of my life, my entire life. You know, as folks may or may not know, I spent 5 years with the Columbus Crew, and certainly all of the international events we've had at NRG Stadium have been a great thrill. So it's an awesome opportunity, a Dynamo Dash 2.0, and a chance to do more great things for the city of Houston.
All right, so that was Jamie Rutz yesterday at the press conference. Good to see Jamie land on his feet, and that was, a really good move for the Houston Dynamo, / Dash.
Yeah, and he also, he played soccer at Clemson, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like just some guy that has kind of dabbled in soccer a little bit, if Dynamo and Dash fans are thinking, oh, great, they just brought in a football guy. He's a football guy as well. So I think the biggest thing about Jamie, and he's so good at his job that it almost became a detriment with the Texans because they were so good on the business side of things that there became this perception that, oh, they're only about being profitable. They're only about making money, which never really jibed with the Texans' actual spending. They weren't, under Bob McNair, they weren't really aggressive spenders whatsoever. But it wasn't like they were stingy like the Bengals or teams like that. But they did a really good job on game day experience type stuff, on the corporate sponsorships, on suite sales, all that stuff. So it was kind of easy to have that narrative. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that with the Dynamo because it's always, as it is with most Major League Soccer teams, it's about still growing and growing and growing the fan base. I think he's going to be really good for them. I think Garrett Heinrich, who used to work for us at Sports Radio 610, you guys remember Garrett, the web guy? He works for the Dynamo now, and I think this is going to be very good for Garrett. If you guys have wondered or worried about Garrett, the web guy, I think this is going to be very good because Jamie Rutz will drive Garrett and drive him and drive him and drive him to greatness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. One more.
I knew that was the first thing you thought of when you heard about Jamie Rutz.
I did. I'm like, how is this going to affect Garrett? Actually, I kind of did. I mean, Garrett's my friend. Well, there's been a lot of change going on over there. I mean, look, we're sitting here talking about Jamie Rutz, but the fact of the matter is it's being spurred on because there's a brand new owner of the team. You know what I mean?
Do you remember? I only bring up, for people that have listened to the show forever, they'll remember that the greatest thing about Garrett the web guy was that as soon as somebody mentioned anything about soccer,
oh,
Garrett would come sprinting from the far corner of the building,
yeah,
to show up at the studio to correct whatever we had just said.
Yep.
Just all out of breath and everything. Yeah. Either that or kickers.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, punters. Punters.
Punters. That's right.
Yeah. Punters. One more from Jamie Rutz. Was he surprised at the opportunity to run the Dynamo and the Dash coming about?
Certainly didn't know what to expect when leaving the Texans, and I'm thrilled that this is what it became. I mean, really kind of it's a great blessing that you couldn't have anticipated on the front end, but I'm excited for the challenge and looking forward to working with really an exceptional management team, a passionate group of teammates, great coaches and players to, you know, pursue championships, create memorable experiences for our fans, and do great things for the city of Houston.
Boom. The three-headed mission, the same mission as they had, as Jamie would state with the Texans. If you're wondering what Dynamo 2.0 is going to look like behind the scenes, probably going to look a lot like it did with the Texans. As you point out, Seth, that's not a bad thing. They've been a very well-run business, by and large, through the years.
Yeah, and remember Jamie had that quote when he was on that fan conference call last year that was taken, I understand why it was taken the way it was taken, but he said something along the lines of basically creating a great game day experience so that you get good attendance whether the team is winning or losing.
Yeah.
And taken out of context or just, you know, it the way that people heard that and saw it and read it was, oh, we don't care about winning. We care about, you know, just selling tickets. To a certain extent, yes, that's what any team president, like, who's in charge of the business side of things, they're not concerned about, they have no input into the on-field product.
Yeah.
Like, they have no input into which players you sign or anything like that. Their sole focus is on game day experience, sponsorships, all that stuff. So you want to try to create this environment, like with the Dynamo, you want to create just a great experience where whether they're having a good season or a bad season, it's a great place to bring your family. It's affordable. Like it's just a well-run business on the, and then you let the soccer people take care of the soccer stuff.
Your mission as the president of business ops or CEO in this case, whatever your title is, the person who's running the business side, your mission in sports should be to make the balance sheet impervious to losing.
Yeah.
Like that losing should have as minimal an impact on the bottom line as possible. I mean, the word business is in your title for a reason. You know, you're running the business side.
I'm trying to think of a comparison to just, I guess pro sports are just a little bit different than most businesses.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, if you're the business president of a hospital, you're not necessarily, it's not like you're stopping into the cardiac surgeon's operating room in the morning and advising them on using a different clamp or something.
I would.
You know, it's
got to keep an eye on everything, Seth. Boy, this guy is really hands-on. I mean, 10 people have died in surgery, but our shareholders are thrilled.
You're out there, you're counting how many sponges the nurses are using because do you know how much we spent in sponges last year?
I'm in there.
I don't care how much blood you got to swap, so clean off the floor afterwards.
I'm in there with a surgical mask screaming at the doctors. I'm like, it's my job to serve shareholders. Screw this guy. All right. So Jamie Roots back in the Houston sports scene. He is CEO of the Dynamo and Dash. Congrats to Jamie Roots, friend of the show. Seth, we had our first instance of this last night in a Major League Baseball game. Ever since they talked about becoming stricter with the sticky stuff on the ball, and then they got more specific about what the suspensions were going to be and what the MO was going to be as far as inspecting guys. You know, there are built-in inspections of pitchers in the game now. However, as you and I talked about, I think yesterday, there were going to be teams, Buster Olney said, at least three teams that he knew of that were going to be even more vigilant against pitchers potentially using foreign substances on the ball, where they would throw aside the unwritten rules, the gentleman's agreement that says we could have them inspected, but we're not going to do that. For decades now, baseball managers have sort of had a wink-wink agreement with each other to not invoke inspection. But Buster Olney said there's at least three teams that he knew of that were going to actually use their right to inspect pitchers if they were suspicious of anything. We got our first instance of it last night. And I we had the feeling this was going to be big the first time it happened. And it was pretty explosive last night. And doesn't get any bigger than Max Scherzer being the object of this. He had already been inspected a couple of times in a game against the Phillies last night. And Joe Girardi, the manager of the Phillies, decided to invoke his right to have the umpires inspect Max Scherzer. Here's what it sounded like.
They're going to check Max here in the middle of an inning?
Oh, anything to try to throw somebody off their game. And Davey rightfully coming out to protect his guy to see what's going on here.
Max drops his hat, and Carlos Torres is going to get mad at him. This is in the middle of an inning after you struck a guy out. And it was initiated by the other manager. If I'm Davey, I'm not standing for this at all. And now Girardi's going to come out and become a bigger part of it.
Well, I love how Davey's coming out to protect his guy here.
Davey is Davey Martinez, the manager of the Washington Nationals. Seth, if granted, small sample size, this is the first time we've seen a manager do this, but if this is any indication of how it's going to go, if a manager decides to do this in the middle of an inning with a pitcher. Now Scherzer is one of the greats in the game, so he may feel more entitled to feel the way that he does, and he's more animated all the time than most pitchers are, but this did not sit well at all with Scherzer.
It's in the middle of an inning. Yep. And if it gets to the point where you're doing it multiple times, at what point does the manager bear some responsibility for this? That, okay, no, this is just harassment. What are you doing here? Well, like, what are we really talking about here? Each starting pitcher, this is interesting. I've gotten conflicting reports and heard different things about this. Is it two. Each starting pitcher is supposed to be inspected twice per game.
Yes.
So at least twice per game between innings, that's going to happen. If you have to ask for it in the middle of an inning, then I would almost, it's almost like, I feel like it's a challenge flag in the NFL, like where you can't have this as an avenue for managers to try to get into a pitcher's head.
It's a challenge. That's a great comparison. The challenge flag in the NFL.
You lose it if you use it on a pitcher. You can't use it again, or you can't use it the next game or something. I don't know.
Baseball's going to probably need to come up with something. They're going to need for it to happen more than once to know what the best solution is, and even then they may not know. I think what I would compare it to – here's what I compare the danger to, Seth, with being able to do this as a manager. It's like being a basketball coach and having unlimited timeouts. You know,
right.
that's what timeouts largely are in basketball, except in the last 2 minutes of a game where you're using them to draw up plays. The rest of the time, the other 46 minutes of an NBA basketball game, coaches are using timeouts to stop momentum, to stem the tide, to cool off the other team. And the announcers for this game where Max Scherzer got inspected by the umpires last night against the Phillies actually brought that up shortly after the audio that you heard. Like, hey, man, like, what if a pitcher's in the middle of a no-hitter? And the manager, you know what I mean? Like, manager decides to go, hey, man, you know, look, I'm suspecting something over here.
Yeah, well, and I guess this part of it hasn't changed. Managers have always been able to ask for an inspection. It's just that now, because it's at the forefront and because there's an awareness about it, it feels like a lot of the unwritten rules that used to keep managers from asking for it at all, now all of a sudden you take away that unwritten rule, and it's the Wild West, and just exactly how are you going to handle it? It's also interesting that, you know, Dusty Baker two days ago said that he was old school and from a different generation, whatever phrase he used, and that he, you know, didn't see himself challenging other pitchers. Joe Girardi's 56 years old,
yeah.
You know, player, manager. He's as old school as it gets, except for these, you know, super old dudes. And I was surprised that Joe Girardi would be one of the first ones to be more aggressive with it.
Yes and no. I get what you're saying, but he was also a catcher. I feel like catchers might know better than anybody what effect it could have on the biorhythms of a pitcher by doing stuff like this.
But I feel like a catcher would also still maybe adhere more to those unwritten rules.
Like etiquette?
Yeah. I might pitch for this guy someday.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
It escalated. It escalated after the inspection that you just heard a moment ago with Joe Girardi asking the umpires, Joe Girardi, manager of the Phillies, asking the umpires to inspect Max Scherzer, ace starting pitcher for the Washington Nationals. Scherzer gets out of the inning with a strikeout, and then it escalated from there.
Joe Girardi up to the top step to have his look over the other way. Girardi's hot.
Well, you know he was staring right at him.
He's daring Max to come on over and get into it. Now Max says, look, hey, I'm clean. Look at me, my hands, my ball cap, I'm clean.
He's like, here, you can have it. You can check for yourself. And I think Girardi got tossed during that whole sequence coming out on the field like that.
Yeah, so the whole thing wound up with Joe Girardi getting ejected from the game because Max Scherzer had such a red ass over being inspected that when he struck out whoever the hitter was to end the inning, Scherzer looked over at the dugout, just was staring down Girardi the entire time walking back to the dugout. And Girardi, who is a red ass himself, literally walked out of the dugout and was waving, you know, doing that thing you do, like, come at me, man. Come, like, he was like, you want a piece of
Cintron?
Me, Scherzer?
The Alex Cintron?
Yes. He was Cintroning. Yeah. So
Alex Cintron's got his own verb now.
Yep.
Yeah, he was Cintroning. Well, the same way we've seen this with Joe Girardi before. I still credit Joe Girardi for sparking the 2015 Astros. That was the exchange where Hinch and Girardi got into it.
Yep.
That was 2015, right? Yeah, that was right around when everything kind of turned around and the Astros hit bottom and emerged from it. I felt like Hinch standing up for his team, standing up to Joe Girardi was one of the things that did that for him. And then they swept them in a series in the playoffs, Sean.
They swept. Who, the Astros did? The Astros.
Yeah, the Astros swept the Yankees in 2015.
That's a sweep, right.
Sean.
It was.
They didn't lose any games in that series.
It was a one-game sweep. That's right. Yes. God, where is Colby Rasmus these days? I'll never forget that home run he hit in that game. Someone says on the text page, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. How about this as a penalty? If you're wrong on the challenge of inspecting a pitcher, the pitcher gets a free strike. Yeah, I don't know if that feels punitive enough, but yeah, that, I mean, look, it's not a horrible idea.
Yeah, start off with an 0-1 count on the next batter.
There does need, I do think, Seth, to your point, if we get to a point where managers are invoking their ability to have umpires inspect pitchers and it becomes intrusive to the game, look, if nothing else, if it's slowing down the game, we know that's something that's plaguing baseball big time right now, is there's just such a lack of activity in these games that it's affecting viewership. That the same way when you lose a challenge, you lose a timeout. I think, I don't know if a strike is the right punishment, but I think, Texter, you're onto something there. I think I like where your head's at.
I also think, though, as much as Girardi, I have a love-hate relationship with Girardi because I actually like him as a commentator when he's not doing Astros-Rays games. Because when he does the Rays, he just knows too much about the Rays because he coached against them for years. So he talks about them more. But I think that if you have a few of these instances, I mean, pitchers are out there thinking like, okay, I don't want to be the guy who goes viral because they find something.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not the what you want popping up first on your YouTube results for your kids to see. So I think that this has gotten, seems like this has gotten policed and nipped pretty quickly. Yeah. I would just the way Scherzer said that, saying, well, like, what am I crazy? I'm going to use something out there. I think that the sticky substances, of which, by the way, I received my spider tack in the mail yesterday. I forgot to bring it in. I'm kind of scared of it. I'm kind of nervous about it.
You opened it yet? Or
it's a canister. No, I haven't even opened it. I want to kind of do an opening video, like I'm an Instagram
influencer.
I got you.
Okay, so you're not scared to open it, like a snake's going to pop out or something like that? Or an actual spider?
An actual spider. I'm kind of scared of it. I read these stories about just how sticky it is. Mm-hmm. I got to be sure I get it on video when I first pull it out because it doesn't act like other substances that you know of.
Oh, yeah. I'm intrigued. That's a good tease right there. All right, 713-572-4610.
I should put it in my hair. I'm going to put it in my hair and use it as like a permanent, I'll get,
please do,
a hairstyle that will last. Like please. When you get your hair just right, it stays like that for weeks at a time.
Put it in your beard so that then we can learn what exactly you ate for dinner that night as it sticks to your face like flypaper.
I was going to go further south. Let's talk about my chest. I'm going to like sculpt my chest hair.
There you go.
Into like a part down the middle and keep it like that.
With spider tack. I love that. Yeah. Let's revisit this. As long as we're talking about this topic, the listeners that are here early in the show didn't get to hear this yesterday. Two bits of audio that I think illustrate both ends of the courage, section when it comes to the throwing of a baseball without some sticky substance on it. There are some pitchers out there who are like, screw it, man, just give me the ball and let me haul off and throw it. There's other pitchers out there that get their panties in a bunch and are like, I can't hold on to the baseball. This is terrible. Let's start at the manly end of it and hear from former Astros ace Roy Oswalt, who is just can't believe that everybody's up in arms about not being able to grip a baseball.
I don't see it anyway as putting anything on a ball. That's just me, you know, because you play the game by the rules. You don't change the rules for your advantage. And if you can't grab the ball, that's your personal problem. Somebody else can do it and you can't. That's your own problem. So I always played the game as the game was written to play. I didn't play the game and try to change it into my advantage. I never altered the game by, you know, cheating to be able to make the ball move more. I thought, me personally, I had enough talent and stuff to outdo the guy at the plate no matter what. And these guys are complaining because they're not getting to cheat at a game. That's just setting a different standard for everyone that's trying to get up, you know, through the minor leagues, you know, seeing these big-name guys doing this.
All right, so Roy Oswalt says, man, if you're complaining about being able to grip a baseball, what are you doing? He sounds a little like Philip Rivers, honestly.
He's like all those fun guys that have a little bit of a whatever that guttural sound, like him or Ogeron. Or
yeah, a little bit of that growl to them, that southern growl. So Oswalt, we respect. Oswalt's like, just give me a baseball, let me throw it, and all you guys out there that don't go by the rules, then you can just go straight to hell. He's talking to you, Gerrit Cole. Listen to Gerrit Cole. He's the opposite of Roy Oswalt.
I just can't. It's hard. I mean, it's so hard to grip the ball. I just, you know, I mean, for Pete's sake, it's part of the reason why almost every player on the field has something, regardless if they're a pitcher or not, to help them control the ball. I think that I don't have a solution, but again, we are aligned in a lot of areas with the commissioner's office on this, and please just talk to us. Please just work with us.
There's two things there.
For Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake. And the please. Yeah. How about please? Please.
You know, Seth, do you know anybody under the age of 80 that uses the phrase for Pete's sake?
No. And I feel like there's no tragedy too great that Gerrit Cole wouldn't use for Pete's sake on. Like, he was just. Find out that your dad's been having an affair for 30 years. All for Pete's sake,
Dad. For Pete's sake.
Wife Gerrit Cole's house burns down. All for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake.
Wife crashes her car into a ditch. All for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake.
You know what this is going to do to our insurance rates? Oh, God.
I just can't.
Find out your son's not just a drug dealer, but like a big time trafficker. All for Pete's sake.
Junior, what are you doing? I don't think we get any more opposite. So we are gonna name the scale of the scale when it comes to measuring just how much a pitcher gets worked up over not being able to use their sticky stuff will heretofore and going forward be known as the Cole Oswalt scale.
Yeah, okay, I like that. Oswalt is Oswalt goes raw.
Yep.
And Gerrit Cole needs all the apparatus available.
He's a giant baby is what he is. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. He is. It's like Gerrit Cole needs to be he needs the catcher to come out onto the mound, lay him down, put his legs up in the air, wipe his hiney for him, put a diaper on him put some talcum powder on him and some Vaseline.
That's not a disturbing image at all.
No, doctor him right up.
All right. Peyton Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain joins us in about an hour. Adam Spillane will join us at 9 o'clock to talk about the Rockets getting the second overall pick in the draft. We'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. Of all the things the Astros have done this year, the best thing is coming in 2 weeks. We will tell you what it is next.
For Pete's sake.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.